So you line up your whole body, your leg is in line, the back leg is straight. Getting a nice kind of feel for the cue as it slides back and forward. Lining it up under your dominant eye. And just concentrating. And then when you're ready, draw back.
My name's Louis Jack. I'm an artist filmmaker. I'm part of Common Study, which is a studio collective in Somerset House Studios. The film that I'm working on, it's a feature film, and it's called Hurricane. It's an intimate portrait of the snooker legend, Alex the Hurricane Higgins. This is a Peredin cue, which is the oldest cue manufacturer, longest running cue manufacturer in the UK, probably the world, therefore. They say that the cue becomes like an extension of your body. So when if you're playing well and you're really in tune with it, you have such a level of kind of like response and feeling between yourself and this piece of wood that it becomes like a piece of your body. It's my first cue, but it's definitely made a difference, I think, so far. And I don't let anybody else play with it. You become quite possessive over it. The film looks at his early years as a way to try to figure out how it came to be that he ended up as this sort of tragic figure at the end of his life, basically, and the role of snooker within that. But from today's perspective, with a kind of a much greater understanding about kind of mental health and how that factors into kind of celebrities' lives or the lives of professional sports people. I believe that whilst its subject matter being focused on snooker and Alex Higgins will appeal to a kind of a snooker fan base, I'd like to think that its appeal will also be much broader than that at the end. Like the kind of the great kind of sporting films that kind of transcend that kind of genre and have much wider appeal. And I think the key to that is the kind of the character portraits and the psychology that's involved in it, so that actually the film becomes less about snooker, but snooker is used as a vehicle for exploring some of those themes. Despite snooker maybe falling out of the public consciousness as much as it was in the 80s, it's still an incredibly popular sport, with millions of people turning in to watch the Snooker World Championships, which are broadcast every year. So we're right in the kind of the heart of Somerset House in the new wing and in the studios. And so this is an area that's just part of the studios, isn't necessarily open to the public. And from what I understand, this was always a snooker room. They call it the snooker rooms. And I think it was to do with kind of army cadets that were training here. Because there's also the rifle room down at the end of the corridor where they used to do shooting practice. And I think that in their kind of downtime, they would come in here and basically play on the snooker table. Now that I've got this table here, I've been trying to play sort of, I don't know, I've probably been playing three or four times a week, but probably only for an hour and a half or something, because I find that after about that amount of time, my concentration is just burnt out. It might be because I'm so new to it, because I'm new to it as well. I've only been playing properly since January. Because I'm having to learn from scratch, I have to concentrate so much. Alex Higgins was a player whose kind of heyday was the 70s and 80s, and he basically single-handedly revolutionized the sport and made snooker into a spectator's game. So whereas before it was played in sort of smoky gentlemen's clubs and there was about 10 professionals in the world, with the advent of colour television, that was the other factor, Alex Higgins made snooker into a spectator sport. He turned it from a stuffy, slow game into an exciting sport, basically. Well, on the one hand, snooker is an escape for Alex, but on the other hand, it's also kind of dominating or like and ruining his life in some ways. Yeah, and there's sort of no escape from that. Whilst he was a creative sort of genius, a mercurial talent of the snooker table, and was able to captivate a whole nation. He was also hounded by his own sort of demons. He was an alcoholic, a drug addict, a womanizer, suicidal, depressive. And despite being once one of the most loved kind of people in the UK, he ended up living a very kind of tragic, kind of pretty bleak life. He died in 2010 of throat cancer. At that time, totally bankrupt, living alone, and yeah, pretty tragic. I think that snooker is a sort of, there's a funny sort of bind to it in a sense, because on the one hand, that was his moment of release and escape. And that was the time, I think, when he was playing at his best and he was so in the game and also having great success. Those were his kind of times that he was able to escape from his demons. But then also, unlike in other sports, there's no real outside factors that are affecting what you're doing. It's effectively just you and the table. And so on a practice table, a good player, a professional player, will be able to make the shot pretty much every time. But when you're playing a real game and it's a one-on-one battle with another person, there's all the psychological kind of warfare that goes on and the pressure of a big moment. It's whether you can hold your bottle and produce that same performance as if it didn't matter at all. So I feel like snooker as a vehicle for exploring mental health, exploring depression is particularly interesting because it is, as I said before, such a psychological game. And then also because of the level of kind of expression that can be achieved on it. I guess through any game, but it just seems like such a sort of a beautiful, to me, example of the sort of the poetics of sport. Being able to, in your lunch break or at the end of the day, spend, say, like an hour kind of actually on your feet, walking around the table, doing something which is so physical and where you're in touch so much with your body, I think is definitely a healthy kind of welcome break. But then also, I find that if I'm working for a long period, it helps to come to the snooker table to sort of clear my mind. Sometimes I come to the snooker table and I use it as a chance to sort of think through things in a sort of a roundabout way, sort of like trying to misdirect my brain in order to be able to work through a certain problem or something that I'm struggling with. Or sometimes I just do it to completely clear my mind. So there's such a high level of concentration that's required for the moments when you're actually going down on the shot and taking it. You really have to have a clear mind. I think that actually in the film, there probably won't be all that much playing snooker, because I think that so much of it is about actually sort of building up the characters and the stakes around the snooker table, because the shot at snooker by itself isn't necessarily that interesting, I don't think. Although you can have these amazing trick shots, but actually the real kind of the meaning and the resonance that comes from a game of snooker comes from the kind of the context that it's in. So it's a lot of it is setting that up with the characters and the stakes of the game before you even start playing. When I come to filming the game, it'll be really interesting to try to approach it from different angles that you wouldn't necessarily see on the TV. So trying to get right into the heart of the game, the people playing it, and using, say, like kind of slow motion stuff, I think you can get really to the heart of the game being on the surface, you know, quite kind of serene, almost like gentlemanly as well. To the sort of, when you slow it down, you see the sort of the destructive kind of forces at its heart. You know, the amount of spin that's generated, the explosiveness of the hits, chalk flying off. And so I feel like there could be a kind of a really strong visual metaphor in there for the game itself, being like a river, which is calm on the surface, but turbulent and uneasy underneath it. Even being new to it, once I get into a groove and I start potting, kind of you get past three or four balls, it's like you just feel like you're flying and you feel unstoppable. And then you miss the next shot, of course, but Yeah, 23 was my highest break so far. I'm quite pleased with that. I don't know if I set my target low for the year, but my target for the first year was a break of 30 plus. So I'm on the road, 3 months in. A lot of it becomes more and more natural, and so you can sort of begin to concentrate on other stuff. But at the moment, the concentration that's required just to pot, even the simplest of pots, is quite intense. Yeah. On paper, you think, okay, the people that are going to succeed at snooker are going to be the ones that are basically have very boring personal lives. So when they come to the table, there's no outside influence. They're just concentrating. They're like kind of they can produce robotic, consistent performances. And on the whole, a lot of the most successful players in terms of trophies have been like that. You know, characters like Steve Davis or Stephen Hendry. But the people that we associate with being the greatest players, in a lot of people's estimations, at least when they're playing at their peak, are the kind of the maverick, mercurial, temperamental geniuses of the game who do things that no one else could. And so you've got people like Alex Higgins, Jimmy White, Ronnie O'Sullivan, for example. Incredibly volatile, crazy, insane personal lives away from the table, but who are able, when they come to the table, not always, but sometimes are able to somehow shut all of that off and produce these breathtaking, beautiful, consistent performances. The sort of the temperament that's required in snooker, with the concentration, being able to shut yourself off, is probably something that some people are naturally better at. But then I do think, like, it's kind of like meditation, that anybody could become better at doing it with practice and dedication. And, you know, maybe snooker isn't the right thing for everyone in order to do that. But I feel like there is something out there for everyone that would allow you to do that. So whether that's meditation, whether that's a craft, like a skill, or maybe it's a sport, maybe it's something completely different. But I think that people can learn that and can use that to improve kind of mental well-being basically as well. I think it's a great way to combat mental health issues. If people want to know more about my work, they can look at my website, which is Louis, Louis-Jack.com.